The following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to FBC Radio Live. It's Friday. Friday, end of the week. Guess what? It's WrestleMania weekend. Yes, I know not everyone's as excited as myself and my co-host here, but despite us not being the most avid viewers of wrestling now, we still pay attention because it's WrestleMania and we're always pretty excited about that. So I'm gonna bring in the guy himself. He is a avid knower of everything wrestling. You can ask him any question and I guarantee you he will know the answer. He is Mike Tibate. Mike, what's up, bud?
No, no, no. Well, if you take under account the 80s, the 90s, and the first half of the 2000 decade, then yeah, I'd say I'd probably be able to match wits with almost anyone. Maybe not 100%, but yeah, over the course of the last 15 years or so, yeah, it's the interest and the knowledge definitely has dissipated quite a good amount. But you know what? I'm always up for a challenge, bud. Always great to be here. Friday, and it's time to flush the format here on FBC Radio Live.
How can you not get excited when you hear this? You know, we eventually are going to start a campaign to get them to bring this back. If not, this will be the song of our campaign, one of the songs of our campaign, 2024, Glendon and Debate Ticket. Remember that. I mean, just
that's
imagine
right.
Coming out to the crowd, the raucous crowd of two people, Claire and Joel, one of which doesn't even live in this country and can't vote for us, but they'll be there. They'll be there, the two of them.
Yeah, I got a funny feeling she'll find a way to do
yeah.
it. I got faith.
Yeah. She'll vote 10 times, actually. It'll be incredible. I think hopefully we'd have a few more than two people here. This will definitely be one of the songs that we play on our campaign trail. Because just imagine coming out to that. I mean, that's I would love that. I mean, it kind of fits the mood too. You know, when you're coming out to a huge crowd, you know, maybe doing a rally. I would definitely use that song.
No, it's true. How could you not? I mean, all I hear in my head when I hear that song is Vince's voiceovers for the numerous WrestleManias of my youth, my childhood.
You're gonna say an echo.
Whether it be WrestleMania 6, whether it be WrestleMania 5, the Mega Powers explode. That probably was the best one. When you talk about the Mega Powers and you talk about Hogan and Savage, that was what main event was defined back in the day. And then, you know, the following year, Hogan and Warrior was just as big. So it was, big stuff.
Well, we've talked about it before. WrestleMania 17 was probably my favorite one. I attended WrestleMania 20. I missed out on WrestleMania 14, but it was... It was a fun time, and again, I'm going to tune in this weekend when I can. It's two nights. It's got me thinking, though, Mike. You know, we're talking about music for our campaign. I think I got another good song for us. It might be for a very specific type of rally or appearance, but I feel like this would be necessary. Huh? Huh?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that.
I was going to say maybe play to a younger crowd as I play a song from the 80s, but, you know, maybe come out a little bit cooler. Maybe if the 80s come back by 2024, we can, you know, that would be perfect timing for our campaign.
Well, the 90s are making a pretty good revival right now, so, you know, I mean, anybody remember Whoop, There It Is? Of course, everybody knows now is Scoop, There It Is.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, that commercial took off.
Obviously, this kind of ties into our discussion from earlier in the week, because, you know, obviously, very famously known as the Axel Foley theme song. Actually, I talk about the ESPN NHL Tonight song all the time as one of my intros, or not intros, but my cell phone ringtones. This was also one of my cell phone ringtones. I've had, like, three my entire life. And I've mentioned two of the three, and this was one of them. It was great. I used to let people go to voicemail all the time just so I could hear the whole thing. People hated it. It's kind of like the whole George, believe it or not. No, which coincidentally, I also made that my voicemail at one point. So, got any more songs that would be great for us? And no, not from your own album, Mike.
Oh no, not from the Keep a Sharp Eye album. Yeah. No, that'd be just a little bit too much pushing it. I don't know. How about You're the Best Around, the Karate Kid? You know, how about that? You know, You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. There it is, right there.
Hey, come on, man. You gotta be. There we go. I love it.
But listen to the lyrics, though. This is actually. History repeats itself.
Yeah.
This is a campaign song.
I love it. Look. You know, I envision. You know, I envision our campaign rallies to have the pageantry of a Macho Man Randy Savage intro, you know, full on carried to the ring type stuff. You know, so when I'm trying to think of these songs.
Oh, you mean when he was the Macho King?
Yeah, the Macho King.
Little pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Doves flying everywhere type of thing.
Yep.
No, I. Obviously, we sit here and laugh now, but just watch. Just wait till 2024, the year of 24. No, we've been joking for a while that we're gonna get a ticket. You know, by this time in October, I will be eligible to run for president. So, you know, the reality is it may happen. It may happen.
I think it might. I think it just might. So, you know what, folks, keep a sharp eye because you never know if it actually will come true.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it'll be shocking. Like I said, we might get two votes. That might be it.
We have some family out there. We'll get a few more than that.
You know, look, I know family's supposed to be loyal and whatnot, but, you know, unless you want the official motto of the United States to turn into a sign for, well, actually, you know what? We might get more support from a very specific segment of the population, or diehard Seinfeld fans, as we...
Yeah, exactly. We can be a campaign about nothing. Everyone else is doing something. We'll do nothing.
Exactly. And you know what? All these problems we have, you know how we solve them? We'll just write them off. You know, that's it.
Write them off what?
Just write them off. No, we'll just write them off, Mike.
You don't even know what a write-off is, do you?
Our deficit, gone. Problems gone because they're just written off.
I think we should take a page from the book of the great litigious mind of one Judge Smales. You'll get nothing in life.
Yes. Yes, that'll be everyone who's asking for something while giving nothing.
Okay.
we'll just center our entire campaign around TV and movie quotes. We won't say anything other than TV and movie quotes, and I think we can make it through, at least to the primary.
I think we can. Have you seen the way the last few elections?
Yeah, you know what?
Gone?
Actually,
I think we got a good shot.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I think we're actually ahead of the game here. I think we might actually know how to win this. I think we got this, Mike. So keep a sharp eye, wink. On
nicely
the details,
done.
Cheap pop. Keep a sharp eye on the details when the campaign's announced and we get to start doing our rallies and debates. That should be fun. We'll do all of our debates. Get up there, people asking questions about healthcare, and I'll just start talking about Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and all that nonsense. But you know what? Mentioned it already a few times today. Today is shot day, vaccine day for me. I'm going actually right after we do this episode. I'm gonna put my pants on. I have pants on right now.
Well, let's hope that's the case.
I'm gonna put my pants on.
Let's hope that's the case. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put my pants. Yeah. I tell you what, I'm a little disheartened by the fact that you're doing the show without pants, and I'm a little more than creeped out the fact that I had to ask you twice.
It saves the crease in my pants when I take them off while I sit, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? Okay.
You learned that from the maestro.
Yes, the maestro.
By the way, the maestro is following me on Twitter. I have no idea how that happened. No, folks, not the real maestro from.
You sure? It could be.
No, I'm sure. It's just I got a notification the other day. It says the maestro is now following you on Twitter. And, oh, I love the maestro.
Why do you call him Maestro? Well, he's a Maestro. Well, I'm great. anyways, vaccine day for me.
Don't ask him about any houses in Tuscany, though.
No. There's none available.
Can't get anything.
But coincidentally, it's also shot day for my cat. So we're kind of shot buddies today. My poor cat, who's now spent 30 days with a cone on her head. And hopefully, cross your fingers, it comes off today. So as soon as I get my shot, get home, I got to pick up my cat and go bring her down to get her shot. So we can both try to, you know, feel miserable later as we have a vaccine coursing through our veins. No, obviously this is her normal yearly vaccinations that she has to get. Surprise. Wow. It's funny. Animals get vaccines too. It's almost like vaccines are a good thing. You know what I mean? And I know I've said it, I'm repeating a lot of the things. This is the day of repeats. Apparently I'm repeating a lot of things I've said already, but I don't know about you, Mike, but I've never known anyone that's ever been afflicted by polio. I've never had it, so there's kind of a reason for that. Called vaccines.
Medical you would think that a vaccine might have something to do with it.
Yes,
I'm just saying. It sounds crazy, but it might just be true.
Yeah, there's a reason why iron lungs aren't made anymore. Yeah, medical advancements have improved the technology, but guess what? People that was they were used a lot during the more severe cases of polio back, you know, not too long ago. And that's kind of my point. Like, that's the thing. I don't know anyone personally, but we're not talking about hundreds of years ago. We're not talking about, I brought up the Black Plague earlier, which was in the 1300s. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, every time before then, not too long ago, less than 100 years ago, polio was an issue, a huge issue obviously in the world and in this country. And guess what? You say polio now, and most young people probably think of, like, shirts, polo shirts, you know?
So, right.
Vaccines,
yeah,
folks.
Exactly.
Get them. It's good.
Those shirts, I guess you get a free one now with the vaccine.
You
get a free
polo
shirt with the vaccine.
Good.
Did you?
No, I
believe you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in your case, you don't need any more shirts. Obviously, you need a few more pants.
Yeah, I got enough. I got enough pants. I don't wear a lot of pants, okay? I work from home. I don't leave the house. Put two
and
two together.
I really need the ability to record some of these, so that way, you know, I can throw these at you. You know, I don't wear a lot of pants. The other day, you came out with one that I forgot which one it was, but you know, this could be good here.
Well, I might have to go back and scrub some of the old episodes, so you don't go back and take those recordings for yourself. But then again, you would also have to figure out how to play it. In which case, I'm not going to help you in that situation. So, like I said, there's benefits to having a Darren. That would be one of them that aren't a benefit to me, because I feel like, be in cahoots, you know.
Well, just remember, with Darren's help, we will get that chicken.
We will get that chicken. You know, we talked like 30 seconds yesterday about sports, and I promise we will mention sports here in just a moment. We had obviously this is something that, you know, us in this country obviously don't, you know, perhaps don't necessarily maybe understand, but I'm sure Claire could speak on it. But Prince William passed away today, 99 years old, almost made it to his 100th. Philip, sorry. I don't even know. I was sitting there reading his obituary and all the kids, but obviously, you know, we don't have that. The royal family in this country. So, you know, the whole idea of it kind of gets lost on a lot of us. And, you know, I'll admit it's the same thing. I know Claire will obviously have more of a understanding of all of it, but 99 years old, that's pretty crazy. I mean, almost made it to 100. And I guess it's different news than what it seems like the royal family's been in the news lately with. So, you know,
Yeah, and if you look at Twitter, it's an interesting place.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, for
lack of a better term. You know, I never believe in trampling on the grave of someone that's recently passed. I think that's classless, in my opinion, regardless of, you know, who it may be. I mean, if there's not something nice to be said, and I'm not saying that everybody needs to be talked up posthumously, that everybody needs to be, you know, deified posthumously. There are some that have lived lives that simply people don't agree with, or they've lived lives that are really not something that we want to celebrate. But I've always been of the, I've always been raised to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Yeah. And in that regard, I don't understand a lot of the vitriol being thrown around social media. I guess it's an easy way for people to make a target or to get clicks or to get, you know, one of the little laughing face emojis that seems to be like the gold sticker of this generation. But no, I digress. Remarkable life to make it to 99 years old is just incredible when you think about the combat and the fighting and the things that he did during World War II. He led quite the life. Officially, the title that he held was Duke of Edinburgh. And at this point, you know, for at 99 years of age, you can say that he did live a full life, regardless of what you may, you know, think of him personally or whatnot. So condolences to the royal family. It's a big loss for them. I know it's a big loss for Great Britain, who still, you know, hold the monarchy in quite high regard. And so just those are my two cents on it. I mean, I feel for the family. I marvel at, you know, anyone that's been able to, you know, to live that long and live the full life that he's lived. Again, I just don't understand a lot of the mudslinging, you know, posthumously. It seems like just an easy target, but that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to say nice things, but what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. If the worst human in the world died, it's, I'm not, you know, would I be, you know, if you're going to tell me when Osama bin Laden died, do you think I was happy? Absolutely. You know, I mean, okay, maybe that's a terrible, terrible example, because I'm pretty sure most people in a way were, you know, at least in this country, celebratory over his death. But at the same time, I, you know, my first instinct wasn't to go run to some public platform and throw out barbs and stuff. You know what? It's just, even with anyone who passes, it just, to me, it's just not worth it. What are you gaining out of it? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, out of anyone, like, what is it? Okay, great. So a terrible person passed away. I think everyone knows that they're terrible. Like, what do you gain by going on Twitter and saying all these things? Like, you're not going to bring them down anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, people know they're awful. People just get an impression of you now, like, oh, okay, this is how you kind of act, you know? So it's not so much about the person. It's really about you, the person, not the person who passed or whatever. It's you know, just watch what you say. Be an adult. I mean, it's I don't know. But it's social media. That's kind of what it is. It's not just what people would guess. I mean, it's a toxic, vile cesspool is what it is. I mean, let's be honest. That's what social media is. I mean, people feel just this immunity towards anything or like what their actions don't have consequences when they're on social media. And they do. Unfortunately, they do, whether it's to other people or themselves, because guess what? As someone who does hire and does go through candidates and have to, you know, filter through a lot of them, even the slightest inappropriate mention in regard to disregard the context or the intent. I mean, if I see something like that, that's a big no for me, and I'm probably going to look past it. So imagine what other employers or anyone thinks when they see stuff like that, even if, you know, it's the worst person in the world, but you know, you go out and you put that out in public. So kind of to what you said, if you don't have anything nice, don't say it at all. I mean, that's a pretty basic principle that you should have been taught at a very young age. And it sounds simple. It sounds too easy, but it's true. It's like the whole sticks and stones may break my bones, but worth, you know, that whole phrase has kind of gone out the window nowadays. But, you know, if you keep that, you know, that's what it is. Just Don't be an asshole. You know, I don't swear on the show a lot, but seriously, just don't be an asshole.
It's true. I mean, you know, in a lot of ways, and look, no one is saying that you have to sweep things under the rug or just not talk about things, or if there's, you know, sordid, you know, details of someone's life. And I'm not talking about from Prince Philip here. I'm talking about just anyone in general. Things that happened in someone's life deserve to be talked about. I mean, there's no question about it. It's when, you know, you use it as a chance to make a cheap joke. There's nothing, if there is something in someone's past that is not, you know, very admirable or very honorable, and it needs to be talked about as part of their legacy, there's no need to make a cheap joke out of it. That's where it becomes ridiculous.
Well, here's
what I'm seeing a lot of on social media. I know a lot of people. Yeah,
I was going to say, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but it's quite relevant because also, I mean, if if you've been paying attention, we know, unfortunately, DMX is on life support now. I mean, there's been conflicting reports about his death overnight. The last I saw that he was still alive, but I saw the other day when shortly after this news broke. Now he's been very public with his struggles with sobriety, with, you know, his issues. Obviously, it led to the situation he's in now. But I saw an article published, and it was the houses he's lost during his rap career. You know what I mean? Like, really? Like, yeah. I mean, is that necessary? The guy is just literally clinging to life at a relatively young age, clinging to life. At the very best, he might be, you know, an incapacitated state the rest of his life. And you're out there saying, oh, you know what? I'm going to highlight all his failures in life. You know, and again, we're not talking about, I don't know how we got off on this whole tangent, but it's just something about social media that bugs me. Just not only with the remarks towards people who have either passed, but just the utter disregard for any sort of consequences from your words. Like, I mean, you know how many people have told me to go S a D just out of for nothing, you know? And it's just like, what? Like, do you really speak like that? Like, I mean, honestly, like, I don't know. And it's all,
well,
I don't
know. You know, keyboard. Yeah, it's the keyboard warrior syndrome. It really, really is. You know, and I think that's the whole problem with a lot of this, and how it got started. I did, unfortunately, I brought it up as part of Prince Philip in the aftermath of you know, what's being said now about his death. You know, you get up, you take a look at the news of the day, you look at what's trending on Twitter, and you see in big capital letters, he's dead. Honestly, the first thing that I thought of, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, the first thing that I thought of was, well, the reports that came out last night about DMX that were kind of refuted and then bandied about, I thought it was related to him. I clicked on it and I saw that it was Prince Philip that had passed away. And, you know, I mean, a lot of these, you know, videos, you're seeing, you know, the news clippings of, you know, Prince Philip passes away and you got Psy doing the Gangnam style dance over the top of the picture. I mean, it's just, I mean, really, what are we doing here? I mean, really, if you know, you have problems with something that the guy did, you side in with, you know, the Meghan Markle side of everything with the royal family. There's a lot, I do agree, there's a lot of history there that needs to be unearthed that some people may not agree with, some people may take, you know, very strong offense to. I'm not sitting here telling people that they shouldn't, but to, you know, to take a cheap joke of that type, just, I don't know, just seemed to me really, really in poor taste. I don't know. Maybe it's just me being an old man this morning, but I didn't understand it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it obviously this situation gives us a reason to talk about it, but this is more of a broad, just a commentary, I guess, on social media and just people's actions and all that stuff. But I'm glad I actually had my mic muted there. I chuckled, not based on what you said, because what we're talking about is very serious. But Joel tweeted a photo of a guy with a cone around his head. and I'm like, well, I guess, you know, to avoid me licking and biting my shot wound, I might have to have a cone on my head. that might cause an echo with my voice, though, when I'm talking on here. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. you know what's funny? You know what's funny? I don't know if you saw the story, but there's a few balls of Trevor Bowers that are being looked at for suspicion of a foreign substance. what's ironic about it, Mike, and it's we're seeing similar storylines, I guess, or similar bits of irony play out in the political realm. But we're going to talk about baseball here. Trevor Bauer spent a lot of time chastising the Astros, and rightfully so. Look, I'm not trying to let the Astros off the hook. In fact, I think They're complaining of, haven't we had enough? No, you haven't. Deal with it. I mean, we still hear about the made-up part of Spygate almost 20 years later. We don't need to hear about your couple-year tough run of things. But this whole Trevor Bauer story I find fascinating because he spent a lot of time. He was very vocal on Twitter about the Astros and cheating and this, that, and the other. And wouldn't it be something if the... if very early on in this season that he gets nabbed for doing something that, again, I'm sure a lot of pitchers do. I mean, doctoring the ball or putting some sort of substance on it for a better grip. I'm sure there's some of that going on in some capacity in a lot of locker rooms. But wouldn't it just be a sweet bit of irony if that was what actually happened and he gets docked for this?
You know, we're not even a week removed from the Easter holiday, and I can use a quote from the Bible. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. It's unbelievable. It really, really is sometimes how irony, especially in the world of professional sports, can come back and bite you. It would be. It would be extremely ironic if that were the case, and maybe a little poetic justice as well. But we'll see. I mean, you know, it hasn't happened yet, so, you know, we're not you know, counting our chickens before they're hatched. But, it would really be interesting.
Well, maybe
if they end up getting Bauer on something like this.
Well, I was going to say, and it kills me because I have all the admiration in the world for the name Bauer. Not Trevor Bauer, but of course Jack Bauer. But I was going to say maybe Trevor has some time to maybe Venmo them some cash to be a little bit quiet here and maybe slide this under the rug. And look, like I said, I don't think that hits him, just him. I mean, clearly... this is a concerted effort by Major League Baseball. And I say that, like, I don't think that, I'm not giving them all the credit in the world for campaigning. It's kind of like the whole steroid thing. It's like, yeah, good job. You're doing something now after years and years and years of turning the blind eye. So I'm not going to give you full credit. I'll give you some, but, and they're kind of doing the same thing here where they're like, all right, we're going to put more emphasis on cheating. We want more, whistleblowers, you know what I mean? We want more people to rat and let us know, like, what's going on. Well, obviously, someone did that with Bauer, and now he's under investigation. I'm sure he's not going to be the last one, and we'll see what happens when this all comes out. But as people have noted on social media, and it seems to be a popular go-to joke, Bauer declined comment, and it was the first time in a while that he had no comment, which, again, you know, might speak louder than if he said something, so...
Yeah, we're, you know, I know we're talking about Trevor Bauer, but every time we say Bauer enters the chat, you know, and things of that nature, Bauer declined comment. It just can't help to think of Jack Bauer. You know, I'm watching too much 24.
Yeah, the only reason you're still conscious 24. Is because I don't want to carry you.
That is true. That actually is true. People think that Jack Bauer,
you know,
came up with
I heard
line. Ian actually said that to me first.
Yeah. So that's I was just going to say, I heard Aaron Rodgers says that to his teammates every single game. Because we know he is just so, you know, just handicapped when he goes out there versus everyone else. I mean, poor Aaron Rodgers. I need to get John on here more often because I've been really taking a lot of shots at Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's the thing, though. This is why. And I don't know if it's like if there's like a group of people together, that have like, you know, had a meeting about this and said, you know what, we're going to start the Aaron Rodgers greater than Brady campaign again. Because over the last week or so, I mean, just people have just been coming out of the woodwork. I mean, every direction, left and right. And I'm just like, how does this movement still have this much momentum? Like, I don't understand it. Like, even I convinced myself that after beating, you know, every, like, Rodgers, Breeze, and Mahomes in the playoffs, that maybe finally people would maybe not admit that he's better than him, but at the very least just stop this silly campaign of spouting off just nonsense, and it just hasn't. If anything, it's gotten stronger, and I just don't understand it. I don't understand. stand it. Like,
I swear to God, there's some sort of like social media or internet logarithm that just goes around and keeps going around, and then all of a sudden these arguments start to pop up again, and I've started to see them over the past few days. I knew you were going to get sucked in because just when you think you're out,
they
pull you back in. But you've been good. I got to say it. You have been. You've been much better, much more well behaved than recently. But
more disciplined.
It really is. It comes. It just keeps coming around. Like all of a sudden, you'll hear them for a while, and then they'll disappear, and then they'll come back, and then they'll disappear. So I guess we're at that cycle now. That Venn diagram that everybody shares about. You know, you are here. You know, in this type of we're nearing the peak again. I don't think we've quite reached it, but we're nearing it, and hopefully it will die down quicker than normal lately. But well, I don't know. Yeah, it's just
what got me the other day was because this is fueled by these idiotic tweets, and we see them literally sometimes twice a month in pretty much the same thing. It's like, who would you take in a 2-minute situation? Tom Brady, and then they throw in the usual suspects, and it's like. First of all, it's not genuine because the people that are tweeting those aren't doing it for a genuine conversation. They're doing it because it's a cheap reaction, because it's an idiotic, stupid, a terrible tweet. It's like, who do you want in a Super Bowl? Tom Brady or all these guys who've combined to go to a third of the ones that he's gone to? No, it's just take Tom Brady out of it. Throw someone else in there, and then we can actually have a legitimate conversation. But it all started with that, and a response to one of those tweets being, if it's a field goal, I'll take Tom Brady. If it's a touchdown, I'll take Patrick Mahomes. And I tried to scroll past it. I did for a second. I went back. I kept going back to it, and I just couldn't wrap my mind around it because we talked about irony earlier. I mean, is it me or was the very last football game that we watched a matchup between those two quarterbacks and the one that you said is good for just field goals is the only one to score a touchdown? I'm sitting here thinking like, how do we even get to this conclusion? And their response was, oh, well, Mahomes is more responsible for more points per drive. And I'm like, what? So for an entire day, I went back, not an entire day. Like I did other things. Mainly I ironed my pants, Mike. Keep that crease nice and fine, but
yeah, you got to keep the crease. Absolutely. Cause it's doing you so much good. Just sitting on the chair.
Hey,
right now.
When I go out and when I remember to put those pants on, they look good.
On Monday, we all here at FPC Radio Live, all of our great listeners, expect a report on whether or not the crease in your pants was complimented by the technician that was giving you the shot.
I will surely tell you that. But
surely you can't be serious.
That's it. Setting you up on a tee for that one.
Walked right into that one. And folks, he did it intentionally. He is my co-host. Is why I have graciously agreed to be the man's running mate in 2024.
That's right. And apparently we're going to have some competition from the big green bastard himself. But
running against Murph?
Yeah, apparently. Maybe we can make it a 3-man ticket. But that might be too many cooks. But we'll see. Anyways, the whole premise, the whole idea is just, and my response to that tweet was, this doesn't make sense. And it doesn't. It doesn't, because on what platform do you come to the conclusion that, I just don't know. Because it was about in the 2-minute drill or whatever it was, and I'm just sitting here banging my head against the wall because the entire response to that thread or that tweet was, which is toxic to begin with, but this one person, which apparently there was a few other people that shared a similar idea, I'm like, I just don't get it. And I came to the conclusion that because Adam Vinatieri kicked a field goal 20 years ago in Super Bowl 36, no one believes that Tom Brady does exactly what he does every single time he goes out in Super Bowls and he scores. So I don't know. It's silly, but they're all coming out. And
and we've gone through this so many times. It's just when people don't have actual championships or actual accomplishments to celebrate, they have to, as the great Aqib Talib once said, they have to dry hump stats. Yeah. And that's exactly what they'll do. They'll give you that. They'll give you that statistic. they will give you that. Oh yeah, Aqib Talib is underrated in terms of his skills on the microphone.
Oh, I
folks.
Love him.
Aqib is
him.
Just I love Aqib Talib. I really do. He's one of the players I miss most up here in New England. When I heard that he was thinking about coming out of retirement and joining Bill Belichick just a year ago, I was so bummed when I found out that he didn't. But Aqib's doing great things, and he's hilarious. But in any case, that basically is what this is. It's about teams or, you know, fans of, you know, players that haven't had much success. It surprises me about, you know, Chiefs fans doing that, because they've had a good amount of success and they're still in the midst of forming their own success. I mean, this is a franchise that's definitely not going anywhere. You could make the argument that they are the front runners in the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. It makes me a little, curious as to why they're so defensive about stuff like this. But you know, it is what it is. I guess that's when you're not on top, you want to be, and you got to find any way possible to satisfy. So you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm right there with you. It's such a futile argument to try to reason with people like this, because they'll pull out a exactly.
No, that's what it is. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. That's what it is. It's not me saying, oh, no, I'm right, you're wrong, even though sometimes it amounts to it. Like, you know, for example, like, I asked the person, like, you know, how does this make any sense? And one of their little buddies there chimed in and was like, well, what if you disproved him? You could have said seven rings. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, do I really need to remind everyone who Tom Brady is every time I say that? Yeah, he's the better option when you ask any of these questions. Like, do I have to remind people, like, every time I talk about the sun that it's hot? Like, do I have to, you know what I mean? Like, when I say the sun, well, people know it's hot. I don't have to say it. Like, when I say Tom Brady, well, we obviously know that he's won multiple Super Bowls. Multiple Super Bowls. I mean, that's how many Super Bowls he's won. And, I don't know, it's just... I broke ranks. Yeah, I was doing really good. I was doing really well, rather. And I kind of broke away from that yesterday. But guess what, Mike? Guess what?
What, Ian?
what, Ian? I like it.
What, Ian?
UMass is in the Frozen Four, the final of the NCAA championship.
Yes, that is absolutely right.
Stunning. Minnesota Duluth. Yesterday, obviously, UMass, close to my heart. Spent a lot of time there, 10 years, and I didn't even become a doctor. How about that? Folks, I was not in school. Again, I think I've had to clarify this before, but I was not in school for 10 years. Only 8. No, I'm joking. It was more like 5. That was like the standard rate. But anyways, I spent a lot of time out in that area, about 10 years in general or in total. And I love it out there. I love UMass. They weren't, you know, they had decent teams while I was there, probably because I wasn't on the team. But you know, certainly not a, you know, Final Four, championship quality team. So it's going to be fun to see that. And, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for that UMass, as they used to call it. And partially the reason I chose to go there.
No, I think it's honestly, not seriously, I really do. I think it's great. You know, anytime you get the local schools up here, especially in the Northeast, to be able to do it. Of course, I'm still living vicariously through the 2015 national championship of my Providence College Friars for the Frozen Four championship, the NCAA championship that year. But no, this is great. This is good. I'll be rooting for them. So good stuff. Good stuff, especially with the connection that you have there, my friend.
Well, it's a lot of, honestly, there's a lot of New England college sports news around. Jeremy Swayman, you know, solid in net for the Bruins during his first couple starts. A UMaine guy. UMaine. I almost went to UMaine. I wanted to go to UMaine at first for a while. I only applied to 5 schools, I want to say. Got into them all. Well, yeah, impressive, right? Not really.
Not bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I went, obviously, UMass, Quinnipiac, Connecticut. So I was almost in Connecticut. Where else? Jeez, I can't even remember. Is that bad? I think there was two schools. There was two schools in California. I almost went, but at the end of the day, I was like, UMass is far enough away from home, but close enough as it is. You know, I don't want to go too far. But yeah, I ultimately landed on UMass, and I was pretty happy about that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, yeah, very similar stories. I've got, in terms of how I ended up at Providence College, I applied to five schools, got into all of them. And PC is really just the only school
Harvard,
I ever wanted
Yale,
to go to.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
Oxford.
Absolutely. Yep. Yes.
But
Harvard.
Yeah. But my good pal here, Mike, was just he had too much of Rhode Island in his heart. He could just not. He had to go to Providence College. It was calling him.
That's
he
right.
had he had
That's
Harvard
right.
begging.
I knew that someday the statue of Mr. Rhode Island needed to adorn that campus, and I had to give the people what they wanted.
Yeah, and people did want that. Who I don't know, but people did want it. So there you go. And we eventually stayed in our home states, and the rest is history. And coincidentally, I met one of Mike's friends. Let me clarify that. I just so happened to have already known this person that Mike has known, but he happened to go out to school at UMass as well. A lot of people went to UMass, actually. That was kind of like the running joke. Like, everyone, like, in my class of, like, 5,000 people in high school, like, half of them went to UMass. But the funny thing was, I didn't see half of those people the whole time I was there. That's how big the campus was, and really at times you felt like you were walking the halls of your high school, but then again, then you wouldn't see those people for months at a time, and it was pretty remarkable. It was a fun place, and I'm happy for him. I'll be rooting for him. I'll have to find my I got some UMass gear in here somewhere. Not a lot. It's been a while. we're not just talking about a couple years ago that I was in college, so maybe one day, Mike, maybe one day there'll be a big showdown between UMass and Providence College. And then things will
be. Yeah, there should
be.
But, we all know how that's going to end. No. So, that's just the way it is. It's unfortunate for you guys. But, you're just going to run into the black and white juggernaut. But in any case.
Whoa. I don't know about that. I mean, come on now. Come on, Mike. I mean, Providence is like, the size of the UMass campus. The entire size of the UMass campus is the city or the state. So let's pump the brakes a little bit. I know you love your Providence College, but
show me UMass's national championship banner.
No comment.
There we go.
No comment.
See, that's it.
No
that's
comment.
It.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's what
whatever.
I thought.
Yeah. Whatever, Mike. We heard yesterday, or we read yesterday that things have not been going great for one Julian Edelman in terms of rehab. This is something I think we've mentioned before, but we haven't necessarily spent too much time on it. But the concerns with him coming back and nagging injuries, and from what we can see or from what we can read and surmise from everything that we've heard, he's probably going to start this season on the PUP list. And that might be just the start of it. And it's a harsh reality I think Patriots fans should quickly come to, that the Julian Edelman era in New England is likely very close to being done, if not done already. And it's unfortunate because, obviously, you never want to see a player kind of go out on injuries. You want to see them go out on their own. But this is something we've seen go back to 2019, Tom Brady's last season here. We spent a lot of time talking about, the lack of weapons this team had. And one of the constants during that season was Edelman for the most part. But that doesn't mean he wasn't being held together by essentially duct tape and super glue. And these are issues that carried over to the following season, and other issues that popped up, knee especially, that has been hampering him. So I don't want to, put everyone down heading into the weekend. But it's concerning. And obviously that's another guy that, all of a sudden looked a lot older when Tom Brady left. By virtue of that 42-year-old leaving, you finally realize, oh, wow, Julian Edelman's 34? Wow, he's kind of old.
Yeah, exactly. You know, bottom line, I've been writing about Julian for the last day or so, which will be on FPC Patriots a little bit later. My thoughts on Julian's career right now and where it stands and my lasting memories of him. Bottom line, this is a guy that I will never, ever bet against until he actually says it's time to bet against me, or it's time to put the to take the chips off the table. There is a lot of fight left in Julian Edelman. Now, whether or not that means that there's a lot left in the body that's going to be able to do it, that's definitely another argument. And you're right. I mean, the era of Julian being a strong and a value, and I shouldn't say a value, that's no, wrong choice of words, folks, a strong and a relied upon, member of this franchise, of this team, are probably behind him. If Julian does play this season, it's looking almost certain that he will not be able to play a full 17-game season. And if that is indeed the case, it's sad for Patriots fans, because you look at the guy with the heart of a lion going out there every single time. 2 years ago in 2019 with Tom Brady's last year in New England, I mean, we saw Julian go out there in practice. You could see him getting up. You could see him holding his side. You could see him holding his knee. I mean, this guy was literally in a lot of pain, and you could tell it. Everybody knew it. But he would still go out there. He had three injuries at one point, any one of which would have put someone else on the sideline. But Julian fought through all three of them, and he played. He didn't, he went out there, miss time, extensive time. Last year, I think the body just broke down, and it really prevented him from being able to get back on the field and contribute the way he needed to. And now you're seeing that spill over into this year. You just hope that if he does decide to put the cleats on and give it one more go, that injury that is, a problem for him doesn't become a lifetime problem for him. I want to see him go out with dignity. I want to see him go out with respect. I want to see him go out on his own terms. But I also know, Julian, that there's no way that he's going to be pried off the football field unless he knows for a fact he can't do it anymore. Are we nearing that time? I think that's a possibility. But always remember the heart of a guy that just wouldn't give up. I think of 28-3, and I think of him sitting on the other sidelines looking at Tom Brady and saying, no, we're going to go out there. We're going to win this one. We're going to win this one for your mom. And that was really a rallying cry. You've heard Brady say several times that kind of gave him that, maybe that extra bit of kick that he needed at that point to really realize that this game wasn't over. That's the Julian Edelman that I'll always be enamored with when it comes to this team. And we'll see what the future holds. If this is indeed the swan song for Julian Edelman, it's been a hell of a career. He'll definitely don a red jacket someday in the Patriots Hall of Fame. As for Canton, well, I think the jury's still out on that one. A lot of people argue, and I think there is a legitimate argument to be made as to whether or not he really is a Hall of Famer or not, but he's a Patriots Hall of Famer for certain. He's had a hell of a career here in Foxborough.
Yeah. And that's a debate to have at another time. I think there is a debate to have, although, I've admittedly been on the fence when it comes to whether or not Julian Edelman is a pro football Hall of Famer. And it really, the case for him would weigh heavily on his playoff success. I mean, obviously he was very good in the regular season, but in terms of Hall of Fame, quote unquote, worthy, he separates himself in the playoffs. Now, again, is that going to be enough for voters to put him in? Well, time will come. I don't think so. Again, I don't know, but, we'll see how his career, how it looks, down the road here in several years and how people feel about it. But yeah, I mean, look, we've seen him year after year, game after game, snap after snap, just take a beating and really put himself on the line each and every game. And this is the price you pay for it. You talked about the 28-3 game. Well, I mean, he was probably concussed after he got hit in the head. Oh, I'm sorry. That was, I believe that was against Seattle, where he got drilled. Didn't go down, picked up those couple extra yards. And So, I mean, again, this guy has certainly gone through the ringer. Never shied away from contact. Very physical, even as a blocker when called upon. So all these lingering injuries, eventually are going to catch up. And at 34, maybe they have. So I hope we get to see him again, not just because he's hanging on, but because he's gotten healthy enough that he feels that he can contribute healthily and, you know, in an appropriate manner. So we'll see how that plays out, and I'm sure it will play itself out here sooner rather than later. We'll find out. So, Mike, it's the end of the week, my friend. End of the week. It's WrestleMania week. NHL trade deadline on Monday. It's middle of April. Taxes are due next month. They delayed.
Yeah, they're due now next month. Yes.
Yeah, so if you haven't done them yet, excuse me.
Yep.
Do them. Just get them done.
Yep.
I got to pay mine.
Exactly.
I got mine done. I just haven't, you know, paid it. It's painful. Painful. I hate it. It's like, and I'm kind of like Al Bundy paying the bills every time. Just like every, at the end of every month, I just sit here and cry as I look at all the monies that have to go out. But I encourage people, obviously, get your vaccine if you have not already. If you're on the fence about it, I know I'm advocating for it. I'm not a doctor, so don't, you know, sit there and say, hey, you know, Ian Glendon on FPC Radio gave me medical. No, I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm just saying, polio's not here. Black plague's not here. Guess what? It's due to vaccines. Don't buy into this nonsense about controlling your mind and all that stuff. Just do your due diligence. Listen to your doctors. They're going to tell you exactly what I'm saying. Get vaccinated so you protect yourself and you protect others. And hopefully, you know, we don't have to deal with this again in our lifetime. So, folks.
Absolutely. Wishing you the best, buddy. I know we're all hoping that, you know,
I'm more concerned about my cat. I want her to get that poor thing off. She's been dealing with it now for like a good month. She had that infection, had to have that on for a couple more weeks. So hopefully that comes off today. And then we can both sit here later and eat ice cream and pretend that we're kids because we're hurting from our shots. So.
That's good. That's absolutely good. Yes. Yeah, so, but, you know, just do me a favor. Just put on some damn pants. You know, really. I mean, you know.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I got to find a pair.
I find it a little weird that I have to ask you twice.
Yeah, there you go. All right, folks. Well, you guys have a great week. We will be back on Monday talking a whole bunch of nonsense. Yeah, so give us a follow on Twitter, at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. I'm, of course, at IGLEN31. Mike is at MDABATEFPC. And I'll remind you one more time, like I said, I'm not going to do this a lot, but if you have not checked out at bingecorner.com, check it out and follow it on Twitter. We're going to officially launch some point soon, probably next week. Right now, there's stuff out there, but check it out if you like movies, TVs, and more of Mike and I's nonsense, because you're going to see some of that over there as well. So have a great weekend, folks. Go UMass. We'll talk to you on Monday.